Hello, folks. This is Pastor Mike, and you're listening to our Sunday morning Sunday school lesson. We hope you enjoy this, and you can hear more of our sermons and teachings at www.visitbethelchurch.org. God bless you, and have a great day.
1 Corinthians 10, if you don't mind. 1 Corinthians 10. Actually, 1 Corinthians 11. I'm a chapter behind. 1 Corinthians 11. Teach some things that, you believe it or not, some people won't teach anymore, and I don't understand that. To me, if it's in the Bible, it should be taught. If it's in the Word of God, which is the final rule for authority and practice and lifestyle and behavior and everything else, we should be judged. We are going to be judged by what's in the Word of God. We are going to be judged that way. So hang on to that, all right? 1 Corinthians 11. And here's what the Apostle Paul said in verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I am also am of Christ. And he said, now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I deliver them unto you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. Let me hear you men say amen.
Amen.
Okay, who's your boss? Christ is. So if he tells you to do it, that's what you do. If he says jump, it's like the old guy told me. I was 13 years old, and I got a job digging ditches. 13 years old, digging ditches. And come on in, Bonnie. Come on in, Roy. Just fixing to start talking about you.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, that makes Bonnie happy. Got a job. There's a tornado that went through Wichita Falls, Texas, back in 1979. Category 5 tornado. Tore that town to pieces. And my dad went down there for the Corps of Engineers, and they were setting up mobile homes for people to live in. He was an inspector for that. And we, after school was out, me and my sis and my mom went down there, and dad put me to work, and I'll never forgive him for it. No. 13 years old, I was out there with a shovel working with some plumbers out there digging ditches and cleaning out holes and stuff like that. And I was young and stupid and everything else. And I just kind of, you know, didn't know what I was doing. There was a couple young guys. I say young guys, they were probably 20, 21 years old, something like that. And they were filling me in on how it works. And they said, when the boss man says jump, you ask how high on the way up. And I had to think about that for a long time. Anyway, made $100 a week back then. $100 a week. That 1979, $100 a week, that wasn't too bad. So anyway, and it got one day off and it rained, kind of like this. It rained all day long and I spent $10 on the pool table one day. That's all I had to do, but anyway. All right, back to the scripture. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. Men, we have authority over us. We're not the top dog. We're not the king of the hill. We're not the chief of all that we survey with our eyes. We have authority over us, and that authority is Christ. We call him Lord, and we should. One of the drawbacks of being an American is that we've never had a king. We've never had a king. We don't know what a king is. We don't understand the idea of having a king or having someone who is Lord over us. We just kind of, huh?
How about now?
Yeah, we're kind of getting it now, aren't we? We're kind of understanding this whole king thing. But anyway, and I'll tell you this, it's okay. God, did you know, let me kind of stray off the Sunday school lesson since Wayne got me started. It was not God's idea to have a king over the Israelites. If you notice, when he brought them into the land, he did not designate a king. Now, in Deuteronomy, he said, when you get into the land and you start asking for a king, this is how it's going to be. But when God, and watch this now, when God brought them into that land, he gave them certain rights. Number one, it was the right to property. It was the right to own property, own land. God gave them that right. Number two, God gave them local jurisdiction over their issues. local governorship. The judges, all the judges did is what you think the title judge basically involves. It was to judge or to rule over matters of discrepancies between two people or whatever. That's what it was all about. And to make sure that the laws were enforced. But as far as having a king, they didn't have one. God did not give them a king. They had local jurisdiction over themselves. And when the guys wrote up the Constitution, they wrote it in that manner. Number one, no king. And number two, local jurisdiction. As far as states' rights, as far as local communities, they were to have their own school boards. And the school board of that community was to decide how those kids were to be educated. Did you know that? This country went for years without a National Education Association or a Department of Education. Went for years that way. And we produced Einsteins and Edisons and all kinds of people. I think we did pretty good, you know, for that. All right. But anyway, we got into social engineering, all that stuff, and it's a bunch of garbage. But anyway, God, the idea behind the Israelites going into that land was they had the law. And the law was to be the final rule and authority over them. It wasn't a man. Listen to this now. It was not a man. It was a piece of paper. That's what it was. It was not a man ruling over them. It was a piece of paper. And the judge, whoever judged Israel, judged according to the law, according to what was already, what Moses had written down as their judicial and ceremonial and dietary and everything else law. That's how that judge ruled. He did not come up with stuff on his, he would not allow to. He judged according to what was written on the paper. That was the whole idea behind it. In any government that has a constitution, that's the idea behind it. Okay? That's the idea behind having a constitution, is that it's ruled by paper. What's written down, what is accepted as law, that's what that is. But when you get into a king, then that, you know, that's, you kind of take that away. But we have a rule over us. Now, don't you listen to this now. Our rule over us men is Christ, who is the Word of God. He is the Word of God. That is our rule over us. He has left us here with a written testimony of what He expects and what He asks for. You do not find in here, men, anything in the Bible that gives you an allowance to beat on your wife.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, look at that. Uh-huh. Okay. You're not allowed to do that. According to Scripture, you can't find it in the Bible anywhere. Okay? That is, we have rules over us, men. We have to follow those rules. We have to follow those guidelines. Biggest rule we've got concerning our family is love your wife. And not love somebody else's wife. Can I hear you say amen? Amen. You got to love your own wife. You got to take care of her. Got to be good. Got to give her gifts. Did you know that's in the Bible, guys? Give her gifts. Is two. Don't make me turn there. You see, we come in here, we decide that the Bible is the Word of God and it's the final authority. If you don't like it, well, let me just show you what it says here. Amen. The head of every man is Christ. And the head of the woman is the man. Gloria Steinem needs to come to Bethel Church and be educated. Amen. And all the feminists and all the feminist movement and everything else is unbiblical and it's unscriptural. It's wrong. It's not how God designed it. God has certain areas, certain ways, certain principles. The sun does not shine at night and the stars don't shine at day. Do you know why? God gave them ordinances. God gave them a place. I mean, you stop and think about that. Even nature, does not even nature obey the Lord? When he stands on the ship and says, peace be still, and the disciples were amazed that even nature obeys him. When he says it's this way, it's this way. So when he gives the stars an ordinance by night to rule by night, they rule by night. They do not rule over the daytime. They cannot. And the sun, even the sun has to obey the command of the Lord. And so if nature obeys it, then mankind should obey it as well. The problem with mankind is God's given us free will. He's given us choice. He did not give any other creation a choice. He's given man a choice. And oftentimes we choose the wrong thing. Men, we choose not to follow the Lord. We choose not to allow God to be our ruler and our king and our Lord. We choose those things. And it's to the detriment of ourselves. Women likewise. Okay, God has given women a choice. They can choose to follow God's plan, or they can choose not to follow God's plan. There are blessings in God's plan, and there's repercussions if you don't follow it. Somebody say amen. Amen. And God teaches that in nature. Nature has gravity. Gravity is a law that cannot be contradicted. If you choose not to obey gravity, you'll suffer the consequences. Amen? And with me, gravity, the gravity of gravity is getting more grave every day. It just seems like it pulls a little bit harder on me every day. Amen? Y'all know what I'm talking about. But anyway, so he says the head of the woman is the man. Don't listen to the liberals, ladies. Don't listen to the feminists. Don't listen to the Jezebels who tell you that men have no place in a marriage or in a church. Do not listen to that. It's unbiblical. And I'll tell you, if you want to study a woman in the Bible, go study Jezebel. Go study her. Go study her mannerisms. Go study how she works and how she underlies authority. Go study those issues in the Bible. You'll get educated. Go to Proverbs and look at the virtuous woman. Look at wisdom. Look at how clean she is. Look at how good she keeps her house. Look at how she is the crown of adornment of her husband. By the way, that's the church. Amen? Who tells who what to do? Do we tell Jesus what to do? Does he tell us what to do? He's Lord. Did you know, what did Sarah call Abraham? Try that one on. We don't like preaching like that anymore. We don't like teaching like that anymore. It's old fashioned. That was for the day back then. It doesn't apply to us today. Well, I want to tell you something. The Bible is the same yesterday, today, forever. It's the same word of God that it was 2,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, and it's the same one as it is now. And this is how things ought to be. And I know we live in a wicked world, and there are wife abusers and everything else in the world. And I understand that. Okay? I understand that. But so does God. So does God. And if you've got issues with your husband, go to God with them. God can do what no woman on earth can do. God can do. Okay? But anyway, the head of every woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. You see, even Christ subjected himself to the will of his Father. He did it perfectly and obediently, but he did it. And so that qualifies him to be equal with God, because he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now, verse 4. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. This is a rule to the men. Now, we've just kind of learned by tradition and I guess, you know, just whatever. When men go into a building, they remove their hats. Okay, this is back in the day when men wore hats everywhere. Okay, and I guess in today's world, men wear hats just like they did back 50, 60 years ago. They just wore them backwards, sideways, upside down. The funniest picture I ever saw was a guy at a baseball game. He's got his hat on backwards, and he's trying to see the game because the sunshine is here, so he's got his hands up like this. And I'm going, you're doing it wrong, idiot. Okay? The whole purpose of that deal here is to, and I shouldn't have explained it to everybody. It's just common sense. It's like the purpose of belt loops is not for your fingers to keep pulling them up every 5 seconds. Amen. But anyway, where was I going? Oh, with your head covered. There's some guys running around right now that call themselves Christian ministers that are wearing the Jewish yarmulke. That's the skull cap those guys wear. And I've seen one of them, he's actually preaching up on the stage with that on his head. That's wrong. That's against the Bible. You're not supposed to do that. It is a dishonor to have men for you to have your head covered. And I guess the most honorable person in this whole church is Jared Lewis. Okay? Let's take a look at him. No, seriously. Hair is a covering. Hair is a covering. All right? This is why if you go study the Old Testament law. It was not a disqualification for a man to be a Levite priest if he was bald. Okay? It was not a disqualification. Okay? Because God was setting up how things ought to be. And there's a Do we not trust God enough? Now, I'm going to preach this morning on trusting God. Do we not trust God enough to know that if He says something and it says to do it this way, that even if we don't understand it today, maybe we just ought to go ahead and do it? I mean, we call ourselves Christians and pat ourselves on the back about how godly and saintly we are. And yet we disobey a lot of things out of the Bible because we think it's stupid. We think it's not for us anymore. And we don't trust God enough to just do what He says. God has a reason why He says what He says. And it's all good for us. It's all good for us, isn't it? And we might just think, well, that's kind of dumb, isn't it? You know, I can't even pray with a hat on. Isn't that kind of dumb? Listen, God is infinitely wiser than all of us put together. All of us put together. His ways are not our ways, and His thoughts are not our thoughts. And they're high above our ways. Somebody say amen. Even us, and I saw this the other day, even us right now in the 21st century, 2013, we have these little handheld devices that have access to the entire wealth of information of the entire world. And we use them to look at pictures of kitty cats. Okay, we're not very smart. Andrea got that. Thank you, Andrea, for laughing at my joke. Okay, we're not very smart people. But if God had a way and God wanted it done this way, why don't we just trust Him and say, God, it's your way. I don't understand it, but God, I'll do it. I mean, we've raised children, have we not? Trying to raise children. And we tell them to do something. Why? That's stupid. Well, you might think it is today. I guarantee you 15 years down the road, you're going to get it. Because I did. I did. I saw it. I wished I'd have listened to everything my mom and dad tried to warn me about. Wished I would have. But anyway. So he said in verse 4, every man praying or prophesying with his head covered dishonoreth his head. It's a dishonor to do that. But then look at verse 5. Every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. Now, I'm going to clear something up right now. And let's see here. Where is it? I want to keep reading. I want to show you what this head covering deal is. Now, if you believe that God has laid it on your heart as a woman to wear a shawl or anything like that on your head when you come to church, then be my guest. I'm dead serious about it. I think it's comely. I think it's beautiful adornment. I don't have a problem with it in the world, and I wish more women would do it. Okay? That's just me. That's just, you know, whatever. But let me show you what the Bible says, because we've had a guy come to this church. He came here twice, two or three times from New Zealand. And the first time he came, I suspected he had an agenda. And the second time he came, he did have an agenda. And he felt like God was calling him to all these churches to either get them to come around to his way or to pronounce anathema on them over women's head covering. And it was his firm belief that if women were in church, they were to wear a head covering. They were to hat or something like that. And if they weren't, they were all going to hell. And he was pretty voiceful about this. And the second time he came, I could tell he was wanting to start in with it. And I said, don't do it. And I said, I'm just going to tell you again, we go out here in our church service, don't disrupt our church service. Boy, you should have seen the email I got that night. Whew. It was bad. But anyway, I want you to read the scripture. Verse 6, for if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. Ladies, I'm going to ask you just a personal question. Do you feel like it's a shame for you to have your head shorn? Or to shave your head. Okay. It is in nature. It is in your nature to have long hair. Don't deny that. Just like it is in a man's nature to have short hair. I didn't just wake up one day and say, you know what, I think I'll try the shortcut today. It's been in my nature all my life to have my hair short. That's how it is. And we're talking about, because we've come out of the 60s and the 70s, we're talking about stuff now that nobody wants to talk about anymore, but this is in God's Word. And even if we don't understand it, Why don't we just trust it and say, God, you're wise and I'm a fool. And I'll listen to what you've got to say. And Lord, help me to come under it. Somebody say amen. So look at verse 7. For man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man. You know what the covering means? That she's under something. Now you listen to me. She is under authority. She is under authority. I wish my wife was here. She's downstairs helping. Let me just give you a duh illustration. You'll look at this and you'll go, duh. Okay? For the most part, and I know there's exceptions to this, but let's say in my marriage, Lisa and I, okay? God, she is shorter than me. She is weaker than me. She cannot throw a ball like me. She can't whistle. Okay? Now, she can shoot straighter than me, okay? But that's when she's not rattled, okay? When you go deer hunt, you have to learn how to shoot straight when you get rattled. Amen? Your heart's boom, 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 and you got to pull the trigger right. But anyway, when I'm with her, almost never, when we went to the mall last night, took the boys up there, almost never does she walk around with her arm slung over my shoulder like this, walking around with me. Almost never. In fact, she's too short, she can't do it. It's like this. You know what that means? And God designed body language, by the way, so don't tell me I'm coming up with some stupid thing. God designed body language. This is me in authority over my wife, holding her and protecting her. That's what that is. You say, I don't buy into that garbage. I think you're telling a bunch of nonsense. Let me ask you this. Okay? I've illustrated this before. You remember when you were in school? How did the boys carry their books? Why did they do that? Because this is where the tools and the swords are. We wear tools around our waist so we can get to them. We carry our weapons right here. Okay? And our work in our hands right here. This is how we carry our books. How do girls carry their books in school? Even when they're in first and second grade.
Amen.
Why do they do that?
Babies.
They're holding babies. Don't give me this 20th century feminist homosexual garbage that children are born neutral and they learn this stuff from their evil parents who are trying to force them into role models. Don't give me that garbage.
Amen. Amen.
God designs it at a young age.
Yes.
Okay? Now, I'm going to say this, and I'm not trying to be mean about it. Okay? It's not a joke. Occasionally, you will see a boy doing this. Okay? Now, every now and then, a young man is born with effeminate qualities. That does not mean he has to be a sodomite. Go study Jacob and Esau.
Yeah.
Jacob was a... There is examples of every human being in the Bible. Jacob was an example of a young man who was delicate, had somewhat of effeminate qualities, and yet remained godly and straight.
Yes, amen.
Not only did he have a wife, he had two of them. Then he had two on the side. Amen? Okay? He was not a sodomite. Okay? So every now and then, that happens. That doesn't mean they have to turn out to be a sodomite.
That's right.
Okay? Doesn't mean that. But by and large, God designed men with a nature. And he designed women with an opposing nature. Look at the opposites here. Look at the opposites. Right here in this chapter. Men, short hair. Women, long hair. God designed them that way. You don't believe that? Well, let's go back and look at it. Because he says right here, let's see here. Verse 14, doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? Nature's teaching us that. It's not rules. It's not written in the Constitution anywhere. There's not a law in the book somewhere that says men have to have this and women have to have this. It's in our nature, and God designed it that way. I have never in my life ever had the... Even back in the... I grew up in the 70s when all the boys has grown their hair shaggy and long, and My mom kept trying to get me to part my hair down the middle. I look like Little Lord Fauntleroy, or I look like, who's that on Little Rascals? Alfalfa is who I look like. Kept trying to get me to part my hair down the middle so I look cool like all the other guys. Mom, leave me alone. Okay? Of course, there for a while it looked like Mo. It was just straight down. But I never wanted to grow my hair long. Never did. I don't like it. And it gets a little bit longer than it is now. I keep, Lisa, it's time. Let's go. Okay? God has given women a nature. God has given men a nature. There is nothing wrong with being set inside that nature, being as far as being natural. There's nothing wrong with that. God ordains it that way. And you say, I don't get this is stupid. I don't like it. Just hang on for a second. God is so smart. He has a reason for what he's doing. Why don't you trust him? All right. Now look at verse 15. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for what? You see that? It's given to her for a covering. So there it is right there. God gave women a covering. Okay? Now, there is, I don't know if you've seen it. There's a commercial on TV for Starbucks coffee. Okay? Starbucks, they're liberal and all this and that. And the other. Best coffee in the whole world, I got to tell you. But they're weird. Okay? There's a woman, I'm reasonably sure it's a woman, doing this commercial, okay? Redheaded, buzzed on the side, but her hair buzzed short on the side. I mean, her hair is shorter than mine. She got one of these redheaded buzz cut looks, and you can, I mean, yeah. Yeah, I know who she is, okay? Well, you're judging on looks. Hey, God gave us the looks. You can go off on me all you want to about how I'm judging on looks, and that, but God gave us looks. God gave us appearances. Did he not? Okay? Men ought to act like men, and women should act like women. And when a woman tries to act like man, we've got names in the back of our mind for her. Because it's unnatural for her to be behaving in that way. Likewise, a man. When a man behaves as a woman, we have words for that in the back of our minds that we probably don't want to say out loud, but they're there because we know it is against nature. And people, listen to this now. And if you don't like this, you don't agree with it, that's fine with me. But character always displays itself in appearance. Character, your morality, your philosophy, it will be displayed in your appearance. But people don't want you to judge appearance. But appearance and what's on the outside normally is indicative of what is on the inside. I can't help you if you don't like that. That's just God gave us a nature. Amen? God gave us a nature. And so, guy comes in his church. He's got him a mossy oak jacket. Okay, wearing his boots in. Okay? So far, so good. Okay? He just being a man. Okay? Guy comes in here with this fluffy little silk shirt. Okay? I'm just telling you how this Bible addresses these issues. Okay? You can say whatever you want to about it. This is how it is. Okay, now I want to deal with this covering issue for a minute, and if I get time, I'm going to show you. I've got a little idea in the Bible why God wanted men to have short hair. Now, is it a sin? I'm going to say this to get this out of the way. Is it a sin for a man to have long hair? The answer is no. It is not a sin. The Bible does not say sin. Says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. If it was a sin, God was commanding the Nazarites to sin. God himself commanded the parents of Samson to make him live a life of sin by not allowing a razor to come to his head. Okay? And so it is not a sin, but it is a shame. And the whole purpose of the Nazarite vow was that it's a type of Christ. They're to bear the reproach and the shame. And that's what Christ did when he was on the cross. He bore the reproach and the shame. But anyway, let's get to this idea of covering. Verse 5, but every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head, for that is even all as one as if she were shorn. Now, here again, it does not, this, I want you to look at what it says and what it does not say. Can a woman pray? The answer is yes. Can she prophesy? The answer is yes, in a place. In a place. Okay? Joel chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes upon both male and female, sons and daughters, and the sons and daughters shall prophesy. That's what it says. I was asked this question out in Kenya because they, as we are here, they have followed some ideas that are not biblical in allowing women to be bishops over their congregations. And they asked me the simple question, what does it mean then when the Bible says that your daughter shall prophesy? And here in 1 Corinthians 11, that the women shall prophesy. Now I want you to get this now, because both of these, it says prophesy and pray for a reason. They're hooked together. God has a way of hooking everything together and making it right. Prophecy, prophesying, is declaring the words of the sure word of prophecy, the word of God. Okay? I have no problem. In fact, we've worked with a lady in Kenya, and there's a young lady in Pakistan that has kind of gotten in touch with us, and we might try to help her out a little bit. She holds children's groups and Bible studies. Okay? Yeah. All over Pakistan, she's leading these things. Okay? And you know what she's doing? She's prophesying. She is doing what God has allowed her to do. And every picture I've seen of her, she got her Bible out, and she's reading these little children the Bible. She's reading these ladies in these groups there the Bible. Okay? Now, this is in a country where if you're a woman, you try to tell a man what to do, they cut your head off. Yeah. So I guarantee you, if anybody knows her place, she does. Okay? But biblically, she is allowed to do this. And I believe the Bible. These are the rules right here. Okay? But in the church setting, she is not allowed to do that. She is to be in silence. Okay? Now watch this. When God gave the allowance for the woman to prophesy, he said that her head ought to be covered. You know what that was a symbol of? She is declaring, I am humbly prophesying the words of the Lord, and I recognize that I am under the authority of first my husband, and then secondly, the Lord Jesus Christ. Take away the head covering, and what do you have? Bingo. God's smart, isn't he? God is wise. And I know we don't like to talk about this. We people think, oh, you're demeaning women. You hate women. I don't care what you think of me. The Bible is clear. Paul made this very clear. Who did the serpent go to first? Why? Weaker vessel. And I didn't use anything but what the Bible said about women. They're a weaker vessel. Okay? Weaker vessel. That does not mean that she is weak. My wife is not weak. I got a pretty smart wife. Okay? Pretty smart. And I've learned over time to listen to her and to listen to her counsel. And it's, a lot of times it's counsel that's in a high-pitched voice with a lot of emotion and a lot of things, a lot of excitement to it and all this and that. I understand that, but I've learned to listen to her because she's pretty smart. And she's saved my scrawny hide out of a lot of things. Okay? Now, if I want to be like some men think they should be, I'm the man. Listen to me, woman. That ain't going to work. God won't bless my ministry. God will not bless my ministry. He put the husband and wife together because they aren't alike in a lot of ways. Because we don't always see the right side of things, Wayne. Okay? And so anyway, that's why he did that. But a woman is allowed to prophesy as long as she recognizes that she is under authority. Period. The Bible's so smart. Verse 6, for if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. God has given it into the heart of a woman to have long hair, to have a hair for her covering. All right. Now, does the Bible substantiate a length for what is long? No. Okay. And I'll be honest with you. And, you know, let's just deal with the differences in people. White women can grow their hair a lot longer than black women. Okay, that does not mean black women are cursed and can't be saved. It does not mean that. Okay, there's just a difference there. But even black women recognize that their hair is to be longer, in as much as possible, is to be longer than their husband's hair.
Amen.
Okay, it is a universal concept. If you remember back in the old days, what was the first saying that a lot of American people, when the Beatles came over, what was the first thing they commented on them about? Their long hair. You remember that, Roy? A little bit. That was 3 years before my birth, so I'm just going by what I see, okay? The Beatles, who came over here in black suit jackets, white shirts, and a tie. They were dressed to look decent, but they let their hair grow what they called back then shaggy, which is pretty much normal for nowadays. Okay? But they recognized it right then. And so, why do these guys have long hair? And they recognized it. And then their first cousins came in a few years after them, the Rolling Stones. How long was their hair?
Yeah.
You see, it just started graduating down. Okay? I know I'm running out of time here, and I know I probably got half of you mad. And turn your Bible to Revelation 9. I want to show you something. I want to show you why God says what He says. Okay? I want to show you why. Now, a few years ago, and I don't know I haven't seen them over there in a long time. Walmart over here in town, they used to have a hairdressing salon. Do they still have it in there? Still have it in there? At one time, they had in that hairdressing salon, they had a transvestite, transsexual, a man who was pretending to be a woman and not pulling it off good enough. Okay? You can't fool them. And he worked in that salon, and he would wear a dress and women's shoes and worked on hair. Now, I told my wife, I said, don't you go in there. I don't want that thing touching you, okay?
Amen.
He's so messed up. You say, well, he's trying to be a woman, but he's so messed up in his mind, you don't know what he lusts after, amen? And I got boiled when I was in the men's room, and here it come. In the men's room. Ain't right, Phil. Amen? Ain't right. Folks, give it another 4 years. Give it another 4 years of uncontrolled legislation from this administration, and we will be forced to accept them in every realm of society, including our churches. And if we dare say anything, we'll be. I tell you what, I don't know that they'll threaten jail. I'll tell you what they'll do. They'll start taking your church property and your fine. They'll lock your church money up.
Yeah.
Can I tell you something? You want to set the church free? Lock the money up.
Amen.
You want to set the church free, lock its money up. Because the real church don't care. Real church don't need money. Amen?
Amen.
Okay? Boy, that Hoggard's radical.
Amen.
Shut up, Roy. I love you, Roy. I don't want you to shut up. Revelation 9, very quickly. In verse 7, the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared in the battle, and on their heads was as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men, but they had the hair as the hair of women. I want you to look at that. They were androgynous. They were both male and female. Now, you want to see me get ticked off? Try to come in here and try to convince everybody that God's both male and female. You want to see me come unglued? Okay? My God is not a woman.
Amen.
He's not half woman. He's not a third woman. He's not a fourth woman. My God is a father. My God created a man in His image and in His likeness. If somebody comes in to you, either in a church setting, Bible study setting, YouTube video, chat group online, and tries to tell you that God is both male and female, then point to Revelation chapter 9 and say, here's your God right here. This is who you worship. A man's face with long hair of a woman. Not only is it unnatural, it typifies this right here in Revelation 9. Okay? And it's not right. And so the opposite is the same. A woman with a buzz cut. Who is that gal? Susan Powder, you remember her? Running around, okay? Ellen?
Yeah.
She's trying to look like a man.
Yep.
And it's not right. It's not right. Folks, God gave us these genders. Learn to love who you are. Learn to be happy how God made you. Can I hear you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Heavenly Father, I love you. God, I know, Lord, that saying stuff like this is not popular. I know, Lord, that people don't want to hear stuff anymore. But Lord, you gave us, Lord, you're very wise and you're very smart. And you see down the road things that we cannot see. And you tell us to do these things and we look at you and we wonder why. And we don't understand it. But Lord, you ask us to trust you. So Lord, trust we must. Until you give us understanding, help us, dear God, to just simply go along and obey and say, God, I don't understand it, but I'll do what you told me to do. Lord, help us, dear God, not to have an attitude, rebellion, disobedience. God, help us, dear God, to want to conform our lives and our minds and our hearts with the Word of God. Help us, dear God, we pray. Thank you for this book. It settles all the arguments. We thank you, dear God, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen.
Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God. And I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believed in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in Him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in his word, and God has never broken his word. God promised in his word that he would forgive you and that he would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.